listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 262 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my pal, Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
Okay. I can talk at the moment because I've got a drink.
Yeah, that helps, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Lubrication and all that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a sip as well. Seven Up. Sugar-free 7-Up.
Yeah, and it's sugar-free, caffeine-free, colour-free. Is it flavour-free?
Certainly not very free, no. The lime and the lemon is coming through strong.
Good.
And it's fully recyclable, this tin can, and hopefully it will get recycled. But yeah, I won't bang on about environmentalism this week. I'll try not to anyway. We're talking about mindfulness and kind of the dark side of mindfulness, which can open up if you're not prepared. We'll come on to that shortly. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website, all the show notes and links there. Sign up to our mailing list and you'll get weekly alerts for the show. You'll get some free meditation files as well, although you might need a bit of instruction before using them after you've listened to this episode, and a discount code for our book as well, which is pretty cool. But how have you been, Sean? What are you up to?
I am very good, very healthy. My leg is good. I am now running again. So
that was quite a quick recovery, might I say.
That was because I was sensible this time and I looked after it. Right. So I spent a week doing nothing, and that did the main repair work.
Have you still got that sticker thing up your calf?
Yeah, I've still got a bit of tape on the back.
But you're running again, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm doing 3 5Ks a week now.
Marvellous.
Monday, Wednesday, Fridays.
Well, it's a nice time of year for it in the morning, isn't it?
Yeah, cool. It's even this time of year, though, it's still hot early in the morning, so...
Yeah.
You do come back and you are drenched.
Cool, man. Yeah, very good. Well, I've been getting my morning exercise in as ever on the school run, and I'm getting to be quite an annoying parent because I've been... Twitter followers of mine might have seen I've been recording my lad's school... Bike ride to school. he's seen that I've had a little camera on my rucksack for a while just to record any incidents as I'm out and about. And he said, "Oh, can I have one for my ride?" And I was like, "That's a good idea, Will." And instantly, like the first day I recorded it, didn't seem like a particularly unsafe ride to school. But when you see the perspective of a 6-year-old cycling to school on the road, as cars pass by, he's like at bonnet level.
Yeah,
it's quite spectacular, actually.
Yeah.
Eye-opening stuff. So I'm building this little bank of evidence that I'll be at some point presenting to the world and the school and the council and all that to kind of do our bit to clear it, because school run traffic is just crazy. Yeah. It's just absolutely crazy.
It is bonkers.
I don't think people hop in a car like because they're lazy. I just think they don't even realise there's another option to walk 200 yards instead. Like they don't even. So hopefully this video that I eventually out there in the world will open their eyes, but at the moment I'm that annoying parent cycling down the middle of the road with me little 6-year-old next to me. But it's good fun. Should we talk about mindfulness?
We're talking about the odd end of mindfulness, and this is inspired by in my own experience recently, where I've had people that in one of the trusts I work in, I had a nurse contact me that said, "Oh, we've decided that we'd like to run mindfulness sessions in the lunchtime. Do you mind if we use your materials to do this?" And I'm saying, "Well, who's running them?" "Oh, we're just going to run them ourselves." And there's an assumption that comes up a lot. People do like a weekend course, or they might do an 8-week course or whatever, and then they think that they're qualified to teach something, which actually isn't true. Because mindfulness, when we're talking about meditative process, we're talking about dipping into the mind, into the unconscious, subconscious part, which inevitably happens in any form of meditation.
Yep.
But unless the person that is teaching it and running the groups understands what they're doing, there are cases where it can start to create more problems. Then less problems, unless you know what you're doing, can be quite dangerous.
Yeah, a Pandora's box.
Yeah,
can be opened.
So this picks up on an inquiry that was done at Brown University in the US.
Yep.
And their project ended up being called the Dark Night Project, because what they were finding was that some people that meditate, a small percentage, but enough to make you concerned, because the teaching isn't right, dip into the dark part of the mind, especially they've got trapped trauma, maybe abuse issues or any kind of post-traumatic issues, and rather than being able to process, what they're doing is they're reactivating the problems.
I don't know if the Dark Knight is any relate, like it's not, it's a bit of a Batman.
Yeah,
Batman Begins, the first of the recent Batman trilogy, like one of the best trilogies ever.
Yeah.
There's a character, the baddie, called the Scarecrow, in it, and he has this spray that he releases onto people, and it turns their vision into like nightmares, so their most biggest nightmares will come to like in their reality.
Yeah.
And it will send them like round the bend, and they'll be in Arkham Asylum within hours.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know, that's why they called it the Dark Knight Project, because of the Scarecrow. But yeah, the mindfulness, if not thought through properly beforehand, can lead to some pretty...
Well, one of the responsibilities, and this is the thing about people not knowing what they're doing, running kind of mindfulness things ad lib, is that when you're trained properly, you have to do some level of assessment of the people that you're going to allow on the program. You wouldn't take someone who was in psychological or emotional crisis, that kind of thing. You know, you would treat that differently. But on the one of the things that in this project, the Dark Knight Project, what they're saying is that you have enlightenment is seen as where you're going, as I see you're letting the light in. But what they're saying is, they call it the irreversible insight into emptiness, which is like the darkness.
Wow.
And the idea of, in some cases like that, creating more more depression, more problems, more adverse reactions to what's going on.
There's a few, three or four interesting articles we're going to point to in the show notes for this. But it's pretty fascinating, actually. I mean, I think a lot of them have kind of... They're trying to poke fun and pick holes in mindfulness and meditation practice as a whole. So there's kind of that cynical side of some of these articles. But a lot of big companies, organisations, NHS, are starting to dish out mindfulness as kind of a quick fix for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Without maybe doing the... Like, if you're working with a group of 50 staff members, and you just throw mindfulness at all of them and getting them all in a room without talking to them beforehand about whether they've got any underlying issues. There's a Guardian article in particular that I'm going to link to, which has some case studies of people that have undergone mindfulness treatment or got into meditation without knowing what potentially could arise, and some of the side effects have been alcohol addiction, anxiety and panic attacks, because they weren't ready for it.
And I think that the word mindfulness has become kind of confusing, because there can be an assumption in many parts of society, medicine, psychology, that it becomes this magic cure where you get someone to sit down for 5 minutes and their life changes. Actually, mindfulness is hard work.
Yep.
You know, sitting down for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, you know, every day is a big deal, and it does have a profound effect on your system. But mindfulness is, for me, is like a knife. A knife can be used to create works of art and wonderful food, or it can be used to create pain and kill people and all kinds of things. It's not. It's what you do with it, and that's why the person who teaches you has to be experienced, has to understand what they're doing.
And you need, well, that's assuming that you have someone that's teaching you. I guess a lot of people might have just heard about meditation and mindfulness in some blog post or mentioned in a news report, and so I'm going to do that, and just gone off on their own without fully understanding.
If you look at something like Headspace that we talk about, Andy does a progressive thing, but he also talks a lot in the process, so there's a lot of guidance in what he's doing. A lot of mindfulness problems come when you get someone into a semi-relaxed state and then you lead them in a huge space of silence for a long time, and they're not used to doing it.
Yeah.
And that's when the kind of negative thoughts, the negative processes can come in.
Mm.
And you need to have some training in A, understanding the person that's in front of you, but B, being able to teach them so that they don't allow that dark stuff to come.
Yeah, that instant switching on or switching off of the lights and the sound can be a bit too much, so maybe we've got some noises.
Back along in the 70s, sense deprivation chambers.
Right.
You ever come across those?
They were
salt water, saline, but it was at a concentration so that your body would float.
Okay, yeah, okay, I've seen them.
The water the water's at body temperature, so you don't feel it, your senses go. And then they plug your eyes up and your ears up, and then you're in the dark. Yeah, and most people...
Alone with your thoughts.
Yeah, most people couldn't last more than 20 minutes absolute maximum.
Really?
And they were just, needed something, some kind of stimulation.
Wow.
Because they thought they were dead.
Flippin' heck. So what were they seeing? What were they reporting? I need to do some digging. What was going on in their minds?
It would depend on what was in the cupboard, isn't it? If there's no stimulus at all, you can't even feel your body. There's no touch sensation.
Yeah.
Yeah? There's no touch sensation. There's no light. There's no sound. You know, effectively, unless you're very controlled, you're dead. You know, you've gone completely into the black pit.
Oh, yeah. Man, that sounds quite fascinating, actually.
You want to have a go now, don't you?
Yeah, so who knows how long it'd last.
Yeah. Should we get one?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, amazing. There are, mentioned in that article, alternatives to meditation, but which can have similar... I mean, maybe these are things that you should do before you dive deep into that pool, in terms of just, you know, simple... reading, like doing some kind of creative activity, or just exercise, running and riding, like I do, or we do, just to kind of get you in that stage where you're kind of alone with your thoughts to a point, but you've still got the world going on around you, kind of a bit more of a distance. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, but I think that what we're talking about here exactly what you're saying. The issue is that when you create the silence, and the door opens, what's in the cupboard?
Mm.
That's the problem. When you do hypnotherapy work, which cannot be dissimilar to mindfulness sometimes when you're doing the visualization stuff particularly, you're always taught that you should never do any hypnotherapy with anybody who has any kind of psychosis or has any schizophrenia or stuff like that, because you just make the problem massively worse.
Right.
You know, you can really kick someone off into a psychotic episode if you're not careful.
Wow.
But we've got people that are teaching mindfulness that don't understand mind states. They don't understand the emotional issues that are going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it gets kind of scary when someone's saying, hey, we're going to do a group every lunchtime. And okay, yeah, good. It's a good idea, but you have to have the backup as well.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, our book... Living the Present, I was quite proud when we put a bit of a disclaimer at the start to say that, you know, this basically, it's a self-help book, but it might not work unless you put the hours in, put the work in.
Yeah.
I mean, Headspace sounds like it kind of, it has that disclaimer bit in it at the start, where it's kind of letting you know that this, you know, this is serious stuff.
Yeah.
Things might come out of the box when you open it.
Yeah.
Do all meditation mindfulness courses have that disclaimer in it?
No. And the problem is, as with hypnotherapy, somebody does a weekend course and then they decide that they're now skilled and qualified enough to go over and be a hypnotherapist. And the same thing's happening with mindfulness, where you get someone who's had minimal experience and training, you're suddenly out there doing it.
Yep.
You know, if you do a standard mindfulness course, you have to do the standard 8-week training, but then you have to do a year-long teacher training program, and you have to have been a meditator for a year before you start teaching other people.
Right.
You know, it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about meditation like in an hour a day kind of meditation.
Wow, that's pretty... Yeah. For people that have, or maybe the few that might be listening to this that have gone down that route and are right now struggling with anxiety issues because of they've maybe not had the right training or counsel beforehand, How do you pull them back from that work?
I mean, you need to go and see a therapist, first of all, and you need to deal with the issues that are in the cupboard. That's the problem.
Yeah. You don't deal with it in the cupboard. You don't step into the cupboard to deal with the issues.
It depends on what's going on, really.
So you can step out again, shut the door for a little bit. And...
Yeah, but eventually, as in the book, What's That in My Attic? Good book, that. It should be my resource, shouldn't it?
I use that one, yeah.
The issue then is... depending on what it is that you got stuck in your cupboard, the skeletons in your cupboard, is how they're dealt with. But that's when you need the experience of the therapist. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't do mindfulness, and the majority of people will be fine. But there's just enough stuff, when you read the stuff that we've been looking at here, there's enough, I'd actually say, dangerous stuff going on, where people are inappropriately running things and not having the experience to do it.
Mm. I mean, you can use mindfulness or that kind of focus for anything, can't you, for good or bad, inverted commas. I've been thinking about terrorists, that are obviously the enemy for us. But from their point of view, they're practicing it probably daily, like going over there, what they're going to be doing, how they're going to act it, how it's going to end up. Well, for them, usually ends up.
But if you ruminate and you visualise on anything, then it gets bigger in your mind.
Yeah.
If you're using a meditation technique, which is a visualisation technique, which allows you to develop positive thoughts and feelings, they will grow in your mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If there's no guidance, but you're just out there in that kind of internal wilderness, as they talk about the darkness here, if you go into the darkness and then you start to let those negative, monsters in the mind grow,
yep,
they can take over the world. And if you have a little bit of psychosis, how long does it take you to get to something where you could be doing quite extreme psychotic acts?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like I say, with the hypnotherapy, you have to be very, very careful that you don't kick people off. But the same kind of thing would appear to be happening in some areas where they're using mindfulness. I mean, mindfulness is recommended for mental health issues and for depression. Yeah, so they call it mindfulness-based cognitive therapy.
Yep.
And if it's being done by a skilled practitioner who has properly assessed the people that are doing the course, it's fine. Yeah, it's this issue about people that think, hey, I can do this now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the problems begin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so a couple of things to kind of sum up. First of all, get advice beforehand and get help. Maybe have some kind of mentor or teacher to kind of make sure you're on track.
Yeah, and just make sure that the person that you're doing the mindfulness training with actually knows what they're doing. Where did they train? How do they come to be doing this?
And so, I mean, I guess it's worth to say that just if you do open the door or the box and things start coming out, it's not necessarily instantly a bad thing.
No.
I guess for any of us, it's going to happen to one form.
And the issue is that when you're meditating, you might have to face and deal with some difficult stuff inside you, and that's okay. That's natural processing. The problem is that if you overbalance, if you've got some kind of post-traumatic issue, that's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah. Mm. And secondly, in summary, it's not a quick fix. This isn't like some little, like a diet you go on for a month or two, is it?
No.
No,
mindfulness isn't for Christmas. Mindfulness is for life.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And mindfulness isn't just sitting down and meditating, as we've talked about in other things. It's about how you live your life.
Yeah.
If you live it mindfully.
Okay.
Like when I went to get these drinks, you said, I don't want to drink in a plastic bottle. So I got two tins.
Yeah.
Not that I would have got the plastic bottle anyway. but that's an act of mindfulness, isn't it? I want it in a tin. I want the tin to be recyclable.
Yep.
Okay.
We're getting there, aren't we, as a species? Slowly but surely.
I don't know where it is we're getting, but we're certainly getting there.
I think the world's getting to be a good place. I saw some BBC article yesterday talking about who, whether you felt proud to be English or not, but in England in particular, there is a real problem with that. less so in Scotland and Wales, maybe in Ireland, because they're smaller countries and they're the plucky underdogs and all that. But in England, yeah, less and less feel proud to be English. So Farage has been kicking off about how it's disgrace and schools are teaching anti-Englishness, etc. But it also talked about... what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, whether people think the world is getting better or worse.
Right.
And across the board, everyone was saying the world used to be a better place. They're not that positive about the future, which I found more shocking, really, because I know we've got our struggles and stuff, but it's pretty clear, really, whether you're talking statistically or otherwise, that the world is a better place than it was 50 years ago. But it's just that weird sense of nostalgia, isn't it, I think?
Yeah. But if you look at it on levels of disease and death and illness and stuff like that, the world is vastly better now than it was a couple of generations ago.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Is mindfulness one of the little tricks for...
I mean, I think mindfulness taught responsibly by a properly qualified teacher is amazing. Yeah. And the things that we're picking up on in this are a relatively small...
Yep.
Part of the population, but it's enough to raise concern, as these articles are showing.
All right, well, my resource is your book. What's that, My Attic?
That's classic. Funny, because that's my resource as well.
You had something else in there, didn't you? Because I only said that because I haven't got one. Ah, no, I haven't. I thought you had one.
We can both have that.
All right. Dual resource of the week.
Yeah.
What's that in my attic?
Yeah, and that looks at and deals with... What are the things inside my mind that are buried or repressed that I'm not dealing with?
Yeah.
You know, and how do we deal with
it? So that's quite relevant to what we've just discussed.
In fact, it's ideal results.
Handy, isn't it? Good job we remembered. Okay, cool. Drop us a message if there's anything you need to discuss about this week's show, or if there's anything else you would like us to talk about in an upcoming episode. And liveinthepresent.co.uk is the website, and we're on social media. Facebook and Instagram mainly are our two busiest channels with inspirational stuff going on. Sean, see you next week.
I knew.
Be mindful.
I will.
See you later.
See you.